Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being back here. For the benefit of our visitors, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Joe Kaler. I am not the regular preacher here. I'm standing in for George Slover this afternoon. He is in Jamaica, sharing the gospel with the locals of Montego Bay and Savannah Lamar. I would like to thank the elders, as well as the congregation, for giving me the opportunity to speak this afternoon. And I do hope that the message that I deliver will be one that evokes a response from the audience in the form of action. With that said, let's move ahead. I would say that we are all very fortunate to live our lives out in this world that God has created for us. But a lot of times I feel like we get so caught up in things that it's almost like we have blinders on. We see straight ahead to the things we have to hurry up and finish, and we don't take time to look around and examine what is around us. I know I certainly fall into this category. And knowing that, lately I've been trying to put the brakes on and do just what I said and examine the things going on around me. And in that process, I have noticed something. I'm going to see if I can't impart that to you, take you on a trip through the mind of a day that we might go through. So we wake up in the morning, we're getting ready for work, and we flip on the television or we pick up the newspaper, and what do we see? Well, we see the latest story on some star in the news. So we finish getting ready at home, and then we get in our cars to drive to work, and we turn the radio on. And what do you hear? Well, you hear your favorite DJ and their opinion or their spin on what's happening in the news. You listen to that on your way to work, and you finally get to work, and you walk inside, and you greet your coworkers. And what do you hear? Well, you hear the hush-hush voice and somebody saying, "Did you hear so-and-so about this person?" Yeah. Well, you kind of shake that off and you go sit at your desk or pick up your hammer or whatever it is that you might do, and you make it to lunchtime. And that's good. You have a little break. You use that break to check on your Facebook account. So you log in, and what do you see? Well, you see the latest scoop on who's cheating who and who's being true and all the like, as they say. You work hard through the rest of the day. You make it to the end of work. You have to stop at the grocery store on the way home. So you run inside and you pick up your groceries and you get in the checkout line. You look immediately to your left and you see the racks there. And what do you see? Well, you see all the tabloids just spilling the beans on your favorite movie stars and singers. You make it out of there as quick as you can and you hop in your car and you head home. Well, on the road, there's the buzz buzz of your cell phone. It's a text message coming in. So you look at it. And it's Mickey telling you the newest news on Gertrude and Festus. And you just try to put it out of your mind. Well, you finally pull into your driveway, your home, your sanctuary, your place of peace. You walk in the door, thinking about all the things you've heard throughout the day. You set your groceries down, and what do? You look at your spouse, and you shake your head. You say, "Honey, you'll never guess what I heard today." We have a problem, people, and that problem is gossip. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. In the process, I would like to cover a few topics. First topic, we're going to look at what gossip is. We will follow that with why gossip is a bad thing. I'd like to look at some more things that the Bible says about gossip. And then finally, I'll finish with our responsibilities that we have with regard to gossip. Now, earlier you heard me mention print articles and television and radio, social networking, text messaging. And though all of these things play a big role in the spread of gossip, none of them have created gossip or invented gossip, if you will. I would venture to go so far as to say that gossip has been around since there were enough people on earth to talk about each other. We see gossip mentioned in the Bible itself. So firstly, what is gossip? Well, as defined by Webster's Dictionary, gossip is a rumor or report of an intimate nature. Intimate in this case being very personal. We see gossip in the Bible as well. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Here Paul is addressing the church in Corinth and says, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced." And this is the point where you look at that and you say, "Joe, you're losing your mind. I don't see the word gossip anywhere in that passage." But what do we see? Well, we see the words backbiting, which is translated by vines from the Greek katalalia, which means to speak against. And we also see the word whispering, also translated by vines from the Greek satyrismos, meaning secret slander. So we have gossip defined by Webster's. We have backbiting and whispering defined by vines. Now, at this time, we're going to put together what I'll call a working definition for the rest of our sermon. We'll put gossip into terms that we can easily understand for the points we're trying to make. I would propose that a good working definition to use is a sharing of information without consent about someone, be it true or false, that may hurt their feelings or reputation. Now let's break that down a little farther. So what is gossip? Well, gossip can be true. We saw that in the definition above. Just because the topic is true does not mean that it should necessarily be shared. Take, for example, a friend who has a problem with alcoholism. Due to this, they lose their job. Well, it's a very true fact that this person does suffer with problems from alcohol, and it's a very true fact that this person did lose their job because of that. However, that does not make it necessary, it does not make it helpful, and it does not make it kind to spread that news around to others for the sole intent of letting other people know. We also saw in the definition that gossip can be false. The topics of gossip that are normally false are based on hearsay, perhaps contrived from insufficient evidence. For example, say you have a friend who comes over. They walk inside, and the first thing you notice is that they smell like smoke. The whole time they're at your house visiting, all you can think about is how much they smell like smoke. Where did it come from? That person leaves, and the first thing you do is hop on the phone, and you call some other friends and say, "Hey, would you believe they smelled like smoke when they were over here? I think they're smoking." Next thing you know, they call some more people, Before you know it, you've started a rumor that this friend of yours is smoking. Well, come to find out, who's to say they weren't at dinner with their parents before they came over? They may have been seated next to the smoking section. They got secondhand smoke on their clothes, and that's where the smell came from. And now everyone around is speaking about this person smoking, and it's because of the gossip that you started by way of rumor. So we see that topics of gossip, they can be true, and they can be false. But what exactly makes it gossip? Well, thinking back to our definition some more, we see that in each of these cases, that information was shared about someone else without their consent, and that it could be potentially harmful or hurt that person who's being talked about. What is gossip? Gossip is also quite easy to recognize. I would say that normally when people gossip, they change the tone or the volume of their voice. Say, for example, you have a friend that walks up to you and they're talking about their day at work and said, "Everything went great, but you wouldn't believe this." There's that tone of voice. A little heads up for you. Maybe you shouldn't listen. Also, people change the volume of their voice a lot of times, or when they're going to gossip, perhaps to a quieter volume or a whisper, if you will. I picture a group of people together and they're all talking in a normal voice, and then something comes up that's going to be gossip, and they get real quiet and they say, "You're not going to believe this." Well, once again, there's a good heads up for you. Also, along with the change in tone or volume of voice, there are some certain telltale statements that often precede topics of gossip. I'm going to put some of these up here for y'all to look at. I'm sure you've seen some of them. If not, it'll give you a little something to look for from now on. How about this one? "I shouldn't be telling you this, but..." And there it comes. Or, "I know I can tell you because you won't tell anybody." I think this is a favorite among spouses or significant others. You confide in someone, so it makes it okay to gossip, right? How about this? "This isn't gossip, it's the truth." Well, this is the person that's researched their facts. They know exactly what they're talking about, so they're going to go ahead and pass it on. The fourth one, a lot like the first one. "I shouldn't gossip, but..." Only difference is this person's a bit more brazen. They know they're gossiping, but they're going to go ahead and tell you anyway. And lastly, perhaps my favorite, straight from the mouth of Dennis the Menace. Now listen good, I can only tell you this once, because my dad told me not to repeat it. So, why do people start gossip like that? Well, I'd venture to say that it's because they know gossip is bad. They know they shouldn't be doing it, and they try to remove the guilt from gossiping. As if for some reason this little qualifying statement before gossiping will somehow make it not gossip. That's not the case at all, not even close. So now we've gone through and pointed out what gossip is. We have an idea of what it is. Now we're going to look at why gossip is a bad thing. Well, let's start by looking at where it comes from. I will tell you right off the bat that the origin of gossip is the devil. If you will turn with me now to the book of James, chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, we will read from there. It reads, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." The tongue is a fire. It defiles the whole body, and it's set on fire by hell. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So Satan is behind our gossiping. When we listen to gossip, we give the devil a toehold into our lives. When we speak gossip, we are speaking exactly the evil that the devil wants us to speak. As the old saying goes, a gossiper is the devil's postman. He delivers that news that he wants out in the world. I would also say that gossip is rooted in evil, and it reveals the evil inside of us. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 45, I will read from there. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks." So Jesus is telling us here that our words are revealing what is in our hearts. So when we partake in gossiping, which is evil, we are showing that evil overflowing from our hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but listening to that, gossip doesn't seem to just be some innocent little chatter anymore. Gossip ruins relationships, and it separates neighbors and friends. If you will turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. We see that the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer, also translated a gossip, reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Turn over a couple chapters to chapter 16. We'll look at verse 28. Here it says, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." One more in the next chapter, 17 verse 9. It says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." So I think we're getting the picture here from these verses. They lay it out very clearly that if we gossip, we are going to hurt somebody, whether that somebody is a neighbor or someone closer to you like a friend or a relative or a loved one. Gossip also undercuts the trust in a relationship, and nothing will drive people apart faster than a lack of trust. And I hate to think of it here, but I feel that I would be correct in saying that most of you in here have either been hurt by gossip or have seen someone close to you hurt by gossip. And if that's the case, you certainly know how detrimental that can be. You can't defend yourself against the things being said because you don't know they're being said. And then when you find out, it's too late to do anything about it because gossip spreads so quickly, especially in today's age. So the damage is already done at that point. The trust is gone. Even if those statements were false, it plants doubt in the minds of those around you that have heard the gossip. So what results from that? Well, you have fights between neighbors. You have fights between friends. You have fights between spouses and family members. That's what happens when we gossip. So let's just stop and think about that for a minute. That seemingly innocent little bit of information that we just have to share with somebody before we even think twice about it, well, it could potentially ruin a relationship with family. It can ruin a friendship. It can end a marriage. And it can drive someone away from the church. So, if the thought of causing that type of strife among our peers is not enough to make us think strongly about the words we speak, consider this with me. Gossip separates us from God as well. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, I'll start reading in verse 35. Now, this is a parallel passage to what we read in James earlier. There's just a bit of incentive added to it. So, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Look at that. And by your words, you will be condemned. Now, at this point, I'm very tempted to just walk down the steps and sit in a pew and turn around and look at this with everybody. We'll just read it over and over and really mull over in our minds what that means. But I have a few more things to say, so we're going to move on. We're going to look at some other things that the Bible says about gossip. The Bible tells us how inviting gossip can be. If you will turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. The New King James Version reads, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." The New International Version, which may be more fitting in this case, reads, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to man's inmost parts." So the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. And what do we do with choice morsels? Well, we gobble them down as quick as we can, right? To me, it's like the heels of a fresh-baked pound cake coming out of the oven. Now, I've been around families that will actually race to the kitchen to get the heels of that pound cake when it comes out of the oven, because they are those choice morsels. And it seems that we act the same way about gossip a lot of times. We always want to know the latest news that's happening, and it's real hard for us to turn away. But what do those tasty morsels do to us? Well, we read there that they get down in our inmost parts. It's just like the pound cake. That pound of butter in there has to go somewhere. Normally ends up in our inmost parts, in our arteries doing the damage, right? Well, it's just like the words of a gossip. We gobble them down, and they get inside of us, and that's when they start to do their damage. We form opinions about the people that are being talked about, and those opinions burn inside of us, and we just have to get it out to somebody else, so we go spread the news. And before we know it, we're caught up in that snare of gossip. So what else does the Bible tell us about gossip? Well, it tells us what God thinks of gossip. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, I will read verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." So in this list of seven things that the Lord hates, three of them pertain to our topic of gossip. We see a lying tongue. Well, as talked about earlier, how often are the topics of gossip lies? God hates a false witness who speaks lies. Well, when we spread that rumor about someone, are we not false witnesses speaking lies? And God also hates one who sows discord among the brethren. Now, I believe we made the point perfectly clear earlier in the lesson that gossiping does great damage to friendships and it certainly sows much discord among individuals. But what about discord among the brethren? Well, unfortunately, it doesn't seem that we as followers of Christ are removed from gossip. I think anybody in here would be crazy to say that they've never gossiped or that they've never heard a brother or sister in Christ gossip. And I think you would be even crazier to say that that person who shared gossip with you would not turn around and gossip about you when you walk off. So yes, I would say that gossip certainly sows discord among the brethren. If you would turn with me to Romans, first chapter, we'll start in verse 28. This reads, well, this is talking about types of things that are done by those people who do not retain God in their knowledge. It's not the type of person that we want to be. It reads, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. So there are our words again. We see whisperers and backbiters, gossipers, if you will. If you really want to know how God feels about gossiping, look at the company shared in that passage. We have sexual immorality. We have murder, haters of God, unloving. And then what does it say about those who practice such things? We'll finish this passage with verse 32. It says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So we have whisperers, backbiters, deserving of death. So we're not playing around here, folks. When we gossip, we put ourselves in great danger. So how are we supposed to protect ourselves and those around us from the dangers of gossip? Well, we have certain responsibilities with regard to gossip. Gossip is just a form of communication. You have two parties, a sender and a receiver. If you take away either of those parties, you have no communication, therefore you have no gossip. Well, there are a couple passages that we can look at about removing the sender from the conversation. First one we'll look at is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This verse says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So if what you have to say is going to be beneficial to the listeners, say through teaching or edification perhaps, then have at it. Speak away. But if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. This verse doesn't speak of saying corrupt words of gossip as long as you keep them quiet. And it doesn't say, speak your corrupt words of gossip as long as you just keep it among a couple close friends. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Period. Another act that we can practice to not spread gossip comes from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. And this is a verse we've already looked at today. We're going to look at the second half. I apologize, we're going to look at the first half. We looked at the second half earlier. This reads, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So he who covers a transgression seeks love. Well, how do we seek love from our brothers and sisters? When a transgression is committed, we certainly don't hurry and tell everyone we know of it. No, instead we forgive. We forget about it. We speak of it no more to our friends. And we certainly don't spread it around to others. In society today, I feel like we are far too thin-skinned. We are way too quick to be offended by things. And unfortunately, that's just one part of the world that we see spilling over into our Christian family. And notice that I do say family there, because that's what we are. We are a family. And just like a family, we spend a lot of time together. And when that happens, it's inevitable that at some point in time, we will all be offended by another family member. And when that takes place, I want you to try this. Instead of talking about it with everyone that you're out to lunch with, or perhaps leaning over and whispering to everyone else sitting on your pew with you, go talk directly to that person that offended you. You might just be amazed how things work out. And in the process, you're not condemning yourself and you're not condemning others. So that takes care of the sender in the conversation. So we also have a verse that tells us how to deal with receiving gossip. If you will turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. This reads, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." So we hear what that says. Don't listen to gossipers. We need to let them know that we don't want to listen to gossip. If someone starts to gossip to us, just plainly tell them, "I don't want to hear any gossip. I don't want it to hurt our church." Now, the reason that people may not do this all the time is because we're worried about offending that person or hurting their feelings. Well, don't worry about that. The only reason that person would be offended or have their feelings hurt is because they know they're doing something wrong. They're standing on that island of gossip all by themselves, and they couldn't drag you down with them. And just think about it. If that does happen, you may have provided just enough of a motivating factor there for that gossiper to examine the way they're speaking. However, if it does reach the point where telling them you don't want to hear it doesn't stop them, then as a last resort, you can always walk away. By practicing either of those, you break the cycle of gossip. And in so doing, think of all the good that you can do. You remove yourself from a sinful scenario. You could possibly cause that gossiper to reevaluate the way they speak. And you put a halt to the spread of the discord among the brethren. And all of that is done by taking action and breaking that routine of gossip. Now, while we're on that topic of breaking routine, I want everybody to go ahead and put their notes and their Bibles away and go ahead and get your songbook out and turn to the song that we have selected for the song of invitation. I'd like everyone to be focused for this last part. A few weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to go on a family vacation. And while we were out, we visited another congregation. And on Sunday, we received a lesson from the preacher there about heaven. And as you would expect, we heard a beautiful mental picture painted out of the book of Revelation. But along with that mental picture, there was a comment made that you might not expect to hear when someone's preaching about heaven. The preacher said, "Think of a place where you never have to walk away from a conversation wondering what the other people are saying about you. That is heaven." Now, if you like the way that sounds, we can help you. Now, if you're already a Christian and you feel that you have fallen into that snare of gossip and away from the Lord, or if you have any other spiritual need that this family can help you with, now is the time to come forward. Or, if you are not yet a Christian, but you like the idea of an eternal life in heaven with our Lord, we can help with that as well. We can baptize you for the remission of your sins and get you started on that journey to heaven if you come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.